entertaining and informative.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
I'm going to ask Joseph Tacopina. And if Joseph Tacopina thinks this is about me, then we'll leave it right there. Joseph Tacopina, good morning, buddy. How are you?
It's about you. They're not really talking about this trial on WFAN. I mean, I don't even think they know there is a trial on WFAN. So what morning show? I mean, you know, what is it, 10:10? They do the helicopter, traffic, and weather, right? So what other morning talk show in New York City would they be talking about on the radio? So basically, congratulations. You made it into the most historical trial in the United States history. Trial, the first criminal trial of a former president of the United States, and you are prominently featured as someone who the prosecutors want to avoid listenership at all costs.
All right, big trial coming up on Monday. We had Judge Napolitano on about an hour ago. He's here every Friday. He was great. And joining me live from Arizona, coming up in about 40 minutes at 9:30, a man that played a very prominent part in that O.J. Dream Team, the great constitutional attorney, Alan Dershowitz. He's going to join me at 9:30. But right now, you know that voice. He, like Jeanine Pirro, like Judge Napolitano, like Dershowitz, like Arthur Idala, seem to agree that juror question number 12, which we presented on Monday as one of 42 questions to potential jurors, was about me. And I don't care if that's true or not. I just like the fact that Joseph Tacopina said it. So here he is, the best defense attorney in the world, my dear friend Joseph Tacopina. Jojo, what's going on, brother?
Well, so Monday it starts, you know. Monday begins this trial where they will try and exclude every listener of Sid and Friends from the prosecution's juror list. So that's really what happens on Monday.
So I asked Judge Napolitano earlier how long that process can take, you know, selecting a jury. He said the longest he ever had, he had one that was lasted about 3 weeks because the person in court that day was Howard Stern. And they were having difficulty, love him or hate him. Everybody knows who Howard Stern is. I'm not sure exactly what case. Maybe it was the First Amendment. I don't know. But he seemed to think this could take at least a week. What do you think?
Oh, it should take a lot longer than that in this case. I mean, look, there's not a case that has more polarizing sort of, positions than this case. You either love or hate. This is not like the Kansas City Royals. This is the Dallas Cowboys or the Pittsburgh Steelers. You either love them or you hate them. So I don't think this is going to be that quick. In state court, unlike federal court, in federal court said, in the Carroll case, we had a jury in 2 hours because there was no questions the lawyers could ask. It was a judge questionnaire. We didn't know who the jurors were. And it was just basically faces. And as long as they didn't say, I can't follow the law, you're on the jury. And that's not really jury selection. That's just a random lottery. And it's not the way it should be. In state court, the lawyers are allowed to actually question the jurors and participate in what they call the voir dire, which means to speak the truth process, and really understand who these people are. And the way to do a good voir dire, so jury selection, is to get the prospective jurors talking and get them to start speaking, because you'll hear things come out of their mouth that will indicate to you, do you want this juror or don't you want this juror?
Right.
Because at the end of the day, everyone's talking about law and, you know, the system of justice and whatnot. Both sides want jurors who are favorable to them, period, end of story.
Which is going to be virtually impossible here. I mean, you mentioned the E. Jean Carroll case, and I told Trump at the golf course that day, my friend won. Bottom line, you're not a rapist, and you did a great job knowing the jury that day doesn't like him, and they even went down and took on that ridiculous second charge, the sexual assault charge, fined him millions and millions of dollars, and Judge Kaplan, who you're not going to say bad things about, but I will, he was a louse. Same thing here with Judge Marchand. So why would I expect that no matter who they pick, this jury is going to be fair when it comes to Donald Trump?
In New York, look, I have no doubt the reason the district attorney was able to bring this case, because this case is on its merits weak. Sid, I've said it when I was representing the president. I say it now. On its merits, it's weak. It doesn't – I mean, we're talking about scrapping together two alleged crimes. One's a misdemeanor, the falsifying business records on a private level, and then has to be to cover up another crime. That would be some sort of a federal campaign law violation, which really doesn't exist. The reason that if this case were being brought in Florida or Texas, they wouldn't even bring it, but it's being brought in Manhattan. And they understand, the prosecutors, that the defense is starting with one foot in the grave. And there's no question about that. That, you know, 89% of the jury pool here votes against him, okay? So the odds are they know they're going to get a heavy jury pool that is disagreeing with President Trump's personality, his politics, his agenda, whatever it's going to be. They're going to have a jury pool that's favoring the prosecution 100%. And that's, you know, why they're looking to change a venue. That'll never happen. You know, because jury selection, while you try and get the real truth out of people, for the most part, what they're going to say is, oh, despite my feelings, I can be fair and impartial to the defendant. Sure you can.
Right. Yeah.
We saw it in Living Color, in my case. You know, we sort of blew that case out of the water.
Right.
And as much as they hated Donald Trump, that jury, they couldn't find rape. And that shows you how significant the disdain is in New York County. And this is New York County. This is Manhattan. This isn't from different boroughs like Westchester, like, you know, in federal court, where you draw from different boroughs and different, you know, communities. This is all Manhattan. So that's what their prosecution is banking on. Make no mistake about it. They're going to hope they turn a blind eye to Michael Cohen's deficiencies as a truth teller. I really can't even say a witness as a truth teller, you know, who's a self-admitted perjurer. They're going to hope that they turn a blind eye to, you know, the fact that this doesn't quite frankly equal a federal campaign law violation, because it wasn't done, and here's the key, exclusively for the campaign, right? But they're just hoping that the jurors are going to have such distaste for President Trump that they're going to, you know what, this is a lifetime achievement award we're going to give him.
Yeah, basically, that's it. You're right. That's such a great way of putting it. That is a great way of putting it, lifetime achievement award. Stay with me, Joseph, because I'll put you on hold for just a couple of minutes, and this is the big one. This is the big question waiting on your answer with zest, if you will. He's looking at probation or the possibility of 4 years in jail. Does Donald Trump do a day in jail? We'll ask Joseph Tacopina next.
Friends in the morning.
77 WABC.
Shapes of things before my eyes. Just teach me to despise. Will time make man more wise?
Boy, there's so much news out there that's Christopher Wray telling us about this elevated fear, this really growing concern that what we saw happen in Moscow a couple of weeks ago, where a terrorist group went into that theater and murdered 140 Russians. Now, they believe something very, very similar to that, if not one, many of those types of events are going to happen and happen soon, right here, right here. So that doesn't mean I don't get upset when the Rangers lose to the Islanders or Flyers. Doesn't mean I'm not going to celebrate my birthday a week from today like it's important. I'll be 57. But there's some real serious stuff going on out there. Really scary, serious stuff. And you know what? A former president being on trial for giving some filthy porn star some money is more evidence that things are not okay in this country. Now, Joseph Tacopina, he has represented Trump before, very recently, in fact. What he's looking at here, Joseph, is if he gets convicted, if he's convicted, and my thought is he will be convicted because it's New York. Nothing he can do. Maybe you feel differently. But if he gets convicted, probation will be the best, the worst, 4 years in jail. What do you see?
Well, actually, if you want to be technical about it, it's 4 years for each count. there were 34 counts, so it's like 200 years or something like that.
Oh, my God.
The judge wanted to max them out on every count and run them consecutively. Of course, that's, none of that is ever going to happen. This is not a case, a jail time case. It's just not. It's a small white-collar offense, and it's not really even a white-collar offense like they're a corporate victim or anything like that. This is a bookkeeping offense for a first-time offender, if convicted, that, you know, doesn't really have any victims. So it's not really a situation where any judge, despite how much you may hate this defendant, and I think this judge made it clear he hates this defendant, I don't think anyone could envision him doing a day in jail. Look, if he gets convicted of a felony, will he put him in for 60 days to give him a taste? It would really just further cement the notion that Trump's being treated differently than everyone else in the free world, because that would not happen to anyone else. So this is not a jail time case. It's a case where, you know, if there's a conviction, it's going to be probation. A conviction still is a felony conviction. It's not a good thing, but it would be probation.
Right, but it would serve. It would be great ammunition for Joe Biden, though, because he can go on all these rallies and say, "Hey, I'm running against a convicted felon."
Well, and I think the sort of swing votes, that affects the swing. Personally, I think that would affect independents or people who aren't sure where they're going yet. You know, I mean, some of them feel like, what's the lesser of two evils at this point? I think that a felony conviction would be something that could sway people away. And, yeah, so we're playing for something. But I don't think conviction is a fait accompli. I understand what you're thinking. New Yorkers hate him and despise him, and he's not going to get a fair shake here. Okay, but all you need is one, Sid. All you need is one to say, you know what, not on this case, not on this evidence. I'm not. I have to look in my mirrors when I go home at night, and they're all over my house. I can't just do that. I can't vote someone guilty for something I don't think has been proven. And I think they're going to have a tough time proving this case, but a hugely tough time proving this case. So if there's a hung jury, it's a win for President Trump, okay, because he's playing the long game. He wants to make sure the elections come before there's any adjudication in any of his four indictments. If he's not a convicted felon at the time of the election, you know, it changes the landscape significantly. So a hung jury, for all intents and purposes, is a win. I think an acquittal out of the question, not because of the facts, because of the venue, because of where we are, the jury pool. But and the other thing they could do, which has not really been talked about much, Sid, but the other thing that could happen here is the defense could ask for, at the end of the evidence, the submission to the jury for the lesser-included charges. He's only charged with felonies, 34 of them, okay? And the reason they're felonies is because they're misdemeanor offenses that were bumped up to felonies because they were in an effort to cover up additional crimes, the falsifying business records. And, again, that's the federal election campaign stuff, and I don't buy that for a second. The defense could actually say, we want you to submit the lesser included based on a reasonable view of the evidence, which is how the law speaks, and say we want the misdemeanors submitted, just straight misdemeanors. I could see a jury saying, you know what, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And if it's a misdemeanor conviction, which doesn't obviously mean a felony conviction, you can still vote with a misdemeanor conviction, you know, and there's no jail time associated with that, and hardly any, I don't even think it'll be probation. I think that's, you know, he won't see it that way, but I think that's a win. Because you're just out of one indictment, and you know there's absolutely no effect on your ability to run. There's no felony conviction, and everything else sort of remains the same.
You're right, though. He won't see it that way unless there's an acquittal. He's not going to be happy. You know, last one on Trump. I want to go to OJ for just a couple of minutes because we have to run. But you know, you that epic picture, that legendary photo of you sitting in court next to Trump that first day. I'll never forget that.
Yeah. I'll never either.
Unbelievable. Right. And you, listen, you've had a long list of very recognizable clients, from Leonardo to Alex Rodriguez to Aesop Rocky, politicians, entertainers, ball players. The list goes on and on. You're on Vandersloot. But this one is a little different. Is there a part of you, just a little part, that kind of wishes you were walking to court on Monday?
Oh, my God. You know me, Sid. This is what I do for a living. This is, you know, I'm a combatant, and trial law is as close to combat sports as you get without having to hit anybody. So it's what I do, what I like to do. It's my dopamine. And of course, when the stakes are higher, you know, is when I really get exercised and excited. my dream, I've had dreams cross-examining Michael Cohen. I mean, you know, I could give this to Theo, my one-year-old grandson, and Theo would probably do a pretty good job cross-examining Michael Cohen.
Right.
He starts off with the presumption of incredible sleazeball, liar, convicted, you know, disbarred attorney who's admitted perjury since he's become a new man, okay? So I dream about that cross. I was prepping for that cross since the first day. So, of course, there's a part of me that's going to be missing that part of the action.
Yeah.
But I'm at peace with the decision that was made, and he's in good hands with Todd and Susan. They're excellent lawyers, and I'm sure they're going to give him a run for the money. Michael Cohen's, but that cross will be. That's going to be the one thing I'm going to be like, God damn it.
Yeah,
I
wish I was there. You wish you were there, yeah. And Trump is going to wish the same thing, as good as Todd and Susanna. Yeah. This is a great Joseph Tacopina. So if I rewind the tape, and it's going to sound crazy to some of us, but that O.J. verdict next year will be the 30-year anniversary. 30 years have come and gone just like that since that ridiculous jury arrived at that not guilty decision. But I believe back then in 94 when he committed those murders, no matter what the jury said, you were a prosecutor, yes?
Yeah, I was a prosecutor, a homicide prosecutor at that time, watching that case very carefully. And I have to tell you, so I'm going to say something that is not going to be, you're not going to agree with, and certainly most of your viewers won't agree with it, but it is an intellectual assessment, not a personal assessment. Yes, he committed those
intellectual
murders.
Intellectual? Are you calling us stupid?
Not at all. Not at
I'm
all.
I'm kidding, right?
But what I'm about to say is covered by sort of an intellectual legal assessment, not a factual assessment. He was guilty. You know, there was no question in my mind he was guilty. The evidence was overwhelming. That prosecution team basically took a bulletproof case and destroyed it.
Oh, well, listen, I've been calling out Marsha Clark and Christopher Darden all morning long. First of all, you know, they ended up having an affair. They spent more time banging each other in Los Angeles hotels than going over the evidence because
familiar.
They had them.
Familiar? Sounds familiar, prosecutors having affairs with each other? What does that happen recently in some case in Atlanta? I mean, like, really ridiculous, right? Showing a lack of judgment in the first degree. But I'm not even talking about that. Yes, they were incompetent. Having the defendant try on a glove, do an in-court demonstration where the defendant controls the evidence, that was a great move. Yeah, I can make my hand not fit in any glove in the world. But by stretching it out and doing all the things he did, that was a horrific move. But that's not why the case ended. And that's not why, despite his guilt, that was the correct verdict. Look, in the civil case, he was found liable. That was also the correct verdict, okay? He was found liable for the murders. He murdered them. There's no question about that, okay? And karma should repay him for that, okay? And I believe it will. But let me just say this to you. When I say it was the correct verdict, it's because you had, forget Marsh Clark and Darden being incompetent. You had a police officer, the lead detective in the case, Mark Furman, who planted evidence, lied about it, used the worst word you could use to a black person in front of an all-black jury, then lied about that, then wound up, Sid, this has never happened in my history. I've never found another case where this has ever happened. You can't either. The lead defendant in the case in the middle of the trial took the Fifth Amendment in front of the jury.
That's
okay?
True. Yep.
When the lead detective who's accused of planting evidence takes the Fifth Amendment, the case is over. Over. That was the right verdict because of the louses who tried the case and that lead.
Well, let me ask you this. You're right. You're right. You're right.
Look, it just is. It just
no, no, but here's where I disagree with you. Here's where I disagree with you, okay? And you're the attorney on that. Mark Furman, you're right. He was brutal for the prosecution, as was that lead detective. But here's where the case was won and lost. It had nothing to do with Mark Furman. It had nothing to do with Johnny Cochran's genius. If I said to you, Joseph, that jury were 12 whites and not 12 blacks, O.J. would have gone to jail for the rest of his life. The jury selection, 12 blacks on that jury, were not going to convict O.J. It didn't matter what the hell Clark and Darden did.
Then that's where you and I disagree. And by the way, think about what you just said. 12 whites would convict them in a second. That means it's all about race, Sid. And that's what we don't want the system to be about, right?
But that's what it is about. Well, we can jerk ourselves off and act like it's not, but that's what it was all about, a black jury. Yeah.
Well, but you had a black jury who, listen, Sid, you could disagree with this, but it's fact. Blacks and minorities in underprivileged communities are treated differently than whites in privileged communities by law enforcement. It's a fact. Even the top law enforcement officials.
Not O.J. He was white. OJ was white.
No, okay, but I'm not talking about OJ. It wasn't about the person. It was about blacks being treated differently. And when you have a cop on there who used the N-word repeatedly, lied about it, was caught on tape using it, was accused of planting evidence.
Yes, yes.
Basically,
counsel, you just proved my point. You admitted that this black jury took that as a win for the black community.
No, I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
I didn't say that. I said the black jury was able to resonate with the allegations that a cop could plant evidence and a cop could be racist, and Mark Furman proved that on a silver platter for them. He gave it to them, and then he took the Fifth Amendment when he's accused of planting evidence. So, of course, a black jury is not going to take this white cop who is a racist, lives in a white supremacist community right now, and certainly was someone who gave them what they wanted, what they needed on that defense, and gave that jury a reason to say, you know what? I don't care what the facts are. This is a racist cop who did something really bad.
Yeah.
He's taking the Fifth Amendment.
What about a racist football player that just killed two white people?
He's not a racist. He's a sociopath.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Al is a racist.
I don't care. I'm just saying, yeah.
But he's a sociopath.
So in other words, that cop being a racist was more important than this man killing two people.
No, not that he was just a racist. That he was a lynch of planted evidence and then took the Fifth Amendment in a jury trial. The lead detective took the Fifth Amendment in front of a jury. I've never heard of that before.
No, either have I.
He was afraid to incriminate himself.
Yeah.
Well, that's why that case was lost. The lead detective took the Fifth.
That's not why it lost.
In front of a jury.
I remember the people standing outside the courtroom celebrating like they just won a Super Bowl. That black jury wanted a win for the black community, and they were going to give it to O.J. Simpson no matter what.
But the way they saw it, Sid, and I'm not against
it. How do you know the way they saw it?
How do you know the way they saw it? Because I've spoken to a lot of influential leaders in that community. I will tell you this. The way they saw it was this denounced a racist cop who lied and took the Fifth on the stand, who clearly planted evidence in their mind. And that's what they saw it as, a denouncement of that, not allowing something like that to be strong enough to take someone's life away, their liberty. O.J. Simpson's a murderer. But sometimes the right verdict isn't always reached, especially when corners are cut and when you have a lead detective who's accused of planting evidence taking the Fifth Amendment. Sid, if I were representing you and you had done something, but we were fighting the case and challenging the evidence and the lead detective took the Fifth Amendment, I don't care what color the jury is. You're going home that day. You're going to go home. And so I'm not so sold on the fact that if we're a white jury, they would have convicted in 2 seconds. Because that merely doesn't say a lot for the white people, right? I just think you needed a fair jury in that case. And it doesn't mean that they didn't think he probably did it. But that's not proof beyond a reasonable doubt. And when you have a situation where a cop, the guy who's accused of planting blood at the scene, planting blood in the Bronco, doing all these different things, climbing walls that he shouldn't be climbing, then he's taking the Fifth Amendment against self-incrimination in front of a jury. Can you make it any easier for a jury to say not guilty?
No.
To a murderer?
No. Why was O.J.? Why did O.J. have his passport and $10,000 in cash in that escape car with A.C. Collins?
Because he was guilty.
Well, that's all that matters here. I don't care if Berman was a racist.
You know,
he was guilty.
It's not all that matters, Sid. You know why it's not all? It's all that matters in the court of public opinion. It is, and it's all that should matter. But reality is, it's not all that matters because when you're talking about the justice system, if we start cutting corners for the ones we know are guilty, people like Richard Jewell have their lives ruined. Okay. Actually, innocent people get hurt. So you have to make sure the system is in effect and working and honest and not having a cop who's a racist, committing perjury, who's taking the Fifth Amendment, and he's the lead guy who's accused of planting evidence. Well, you fed right into the defense's hand with that. I mean, please, Marsha Clark, Chris Darden had no business trying that case. Mark Furman being the lead detective there, doing what he did, was all they needed to acquit him. So, yes, sometimes the right verdict is not consistent with the facts, but that's the justice system in America, and it's the best one in the world, and it's only because, and I'm not, look, O.J. Simpson's a piece of garbage. I'm not, he stood up for, he's a martyr, he stood up for the black, no, he didn't care about the black community. I agree with you, but it was the right verdict, as much as it pains me to say that, because my condolences still go out to the Goldman and the Brown families. Those people went through something none of us should ever have to go through because of this piece of garbage, but they gave him the right verdict because of those cops. But, you know, Sid, one other thing that's important, and I think this is really, and if I want to take, you know, I'm trying to take something good out of his death, and as a Ranger fan, I found something good.
Really?
And I want to make sure you understand this.
Okay.
This is important because this, when he died yesterday, I realized this is it. This is the year we win the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
Why?
Yeah.
1994, there was an earthquake. There was an eclipse.
Okay.
O.J. Simpson committed the murders.
Right.
And the Rangers won the Stanley Cup.
Oh, my God.
2024, there's an earthquake. There's an eclipse. O.J. Simpson died. And the Rangers will now win the Stanley Cup. So things will come full circle.
Wow.
That is unbelievable. That is more evidence than against Mark Berman.
That's too positive. We'll win the cup. But not if we play like we did last night. But don't get me started.
The last two nights, the Islanders and the Flyers, you didn't play very good hockey. But I love that. So an eclipse, an earthquake, OJ news, and the Rangers win the cup. I love it. I love it. Yeah. Hey, that was a great conversation. And you're probably right, but I don't care. I love you, and I speak for the people. And I saw too many black people cheering in the streets for me to come to any other realization than that black jury was happy. But you're right. You make some great legal points. That's why you're an attorney, and I'm a dopey radio host. But I love you dearly, and we'll do it again next week. Thank you very, very, very much.
Okay, my brother.
My man, Joseph Tacopina. Put me right in my place.